I want to talk this morning on the following topic or title. I'll really give you something to pray about. I'll really give you something to pray about. Many of us remember our parents talking like that a little differently. They say, I'll really give you something to complain about. The Lord is, in this gospel, inviting us to go a little bit deeper in our prayer. To move beyond praying about merely petty things to truly important and perilous things in our life. At times I think we kind of walk around with a sort of a blindness. We're praying about a lot of stuff that's going to pass away anyway. And the eternal and the lasting things we're not paying enough attention to. And I think the fundamental message then of this gospel is that the Lord is inviting us to focus on some of the more important things in our life. I'll really give you something to pray about. Now the gospel starts out with John, the disciple or the apostle John, coming to Jesus and saying, Teacher, we saw someone trying to drive out a demon in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not in our group. Now, you heard how Moses responded to a similar thing in the first reading. You know, would that everyone were prophets. Have less work to do. Share the work. But John is raising an issue which is not of itself completely unimportant. The Lord himself warned that there were people that would go around in his name and speak in his name but would not be him. They would be wolves in sheep's clothing. There are false preachers of the gospel that do go around. It is not completely inappropriate to be concerned that people who are not properly trained and who are perhaps preaching or teaching error are spreading those errors. But the Lord is on to something a little deeper here for John. John isn't probably complaining for any of those reasons. It's about his ego. It's about his sense that we should get all the glory. We should be able to be the only ones who can lead and preach, and we shouldn't have to share our ministry with anyone. So it's about ego. It's about petty things. And it's about a sin called envy. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, but let me repeat. Many people use the word envy and jealousy interchangeably, but they're not really the same at all. If I'm jealous, you have something that I want. If I'm envious, you have something good about you that I want to destroy. Do you hear the difference? Jealousy seeks to possess. Envy seeks to destroy. Now, I didn't say jealousy was good, but at least it's not as bad as envy. The real definition of envy is sorrow or sadness or anger at the gifts of somebody else because I take it to lessen my own excellence. Your goodness makes me look bad in comparison. You should stop being good or excellent. You see, again, rather than celebrate the gifts of other people as a great gift to the community, we cross our arms and we say, it's not so good. And we try to discredit. When I was a kid in the second or third grade, and I didn't always get straight A's. There are always some students who got straight A's no matter what. You know, the type. We take them out in the playground and beat them up. Call them names, teacher's pet. Try to get them to stop making us look bad. See, rather than saying, hey man, you're smart, maybe I can learn from you, I'd like to have the intelligence that you have, or the study habits, rather than do that, we sought to destroy the goodness in them and make them less good. Now, therefore, this is a very ugly sin, isn't it? Every now and then we say, ooh, I envy you because of that new car. Don't use that. Don't envy. Don't ever envy. And I know most people, when they say that, really mean they're jealous. But I want you to see that although we can laugh at John a little bit here, it's a pretty ugly thing, isn't it? Someone else who is better or good or doing something good makes me look bad, and they need to stop doing that which is good. For my ego, for my sake, because I want to be the brightest bulb on the tree. It's ugly. It's terrible. And so the Lord really says to John, says, look, man, lighten up. If this guy's doing something good in my name, hallelujah. I want the good news to spread, see. This isn't a time to talk about false shepherds or any of that discernment. John, this is about your ego. This is about something deep in you. And I want to really give you something to pray about, John. John, let's not worry about that guy over there. John, let's talk about you. Now, of course, you and I are John. So let's not just say, oh, look at John, man. That guy John's got to get it together. This is about us. Now, the Lord goes on, therefore, to say, he wants us to move beyond typically petty things and begin to look at truly perilous things. And so he goes on to say, let me give you something to really pray about, John. He says here, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to go to hell with two hands. And he gives some other examples. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is your problem, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to go to hell with two. Now, wow, this is pretty strong stuff, huh? What is the Lord saying? First of all, we all know that he's exaggerating. It's called Jewish hyperbole. But simply to say he's exaggerating and then brush the point aside is to miss the point. You exaggerate to make a point. The Lord is not telling us, I think we know, to literally pluck out our eyes. But what the Lord is saying is this, that it is more serious for you to sin than to lose your right eye. It is more serious for you to sin than to lose your right hand or your foot. Now, that's a pretty powerful teaching. I don't know about you, but even after being taught this way, it's hard for me to get my mind around this. If you or I were to go through the day, and God forbid that it would happen, but if you and I were to go through this day and by the end of the day lose a right hand or an eye or a foot in some terrible accident, we would cringe. We would hate the day for the rest of our life. It would certainly be the worst thing that happened to us that day, right? No, it wouldn't. The sins that we committed that day are far worse than the injury to our eye or our foot, or our hand, or any other part of our body. We don't think that way, do we? It's hard for us to understand how serious and awful our sins are. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They have no earthly idea how awful their sins are. They have no clue, Father. They just don't see." We make light of sin. "Oh, it's not so bad. Everybody else is doing it. At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so." We make light of sin. We don't think it's a big deal. "Oh, well, so long as nobody gets hurt. Look on that cross and see that somebody did get hurt. Oh, it's just a little thing." Well, death by a thousand cuts. It's hard for us to understand this teaching, even when it's put in front of us like this, where Jesus says it is more serious to sin than to suffer a loss of a limb or a vital organ. But pray about it. Think about it. Not enough people go to confession today. There are people in this church that need to improve and really begin to take sin more seriously and get back to the sacrament of confession regularly. But all of us need to look deeper. You know, I have some kind of funny images in my mind. I sometimes think that the Lord must be up in heaven sort of shaking his head. You know, we're praying about all kinds of stuff. "Lord, fix my finances. Lord, fix my arthritis. Lord, fix my spouse. Fix my car." And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray about those things. But when was the last time that we were as earnest to pray to God about our sin? Instead of saying, "Fix my car, fix my finances, fix my health, fix me. Fix me, Lord, for my long white robe. Fix me for my journey home. Get me ready to see you." Oh gosh, when we lose a job, we're on our knees and praying. But when we're unforgiving, resentful, bitter, unchaste, unkind, unloving, you never even think of to pray about that. "Lord, I'm really struggling to forgive someone. I'm on my knees and I'm begging you to give me the grace to forgive." Or we'll cry out about the job because we see it as a threat. But we don't see our sin that way. And the Lord is saying, start seeing it that way. "I'll really give you something to pray about. This is what you ought to be praying about." But as it is, we pray about everything else. We don't pray about the most important thing. And so I'm mindful of a man being wheeled into an emergency room. He's been shot. He's bleeding profusely. And they're trying to stop the bleeding. And the guy kind of wakes up from his stupor and says, "Doctor, I'm glad to see you. I've been wanting to talk to you about getting a hair transplant. Would this be a good time to talk about that?" "No!" And I sometimes think that that's how God must experience us. We're dying in our sins, and we're praying about money and things and other people's problems, and we're not even focused on the most essential thing. It's the proverbial arguing about the placement of the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's like the house is on fire, and you're calling the interior decorator to talk about wallpaper. "Call the fire department. Put the fire out. And then we'll talk about wallpaper." Amen? And so it is, brothers and sisters, and we ought to take a little humor in this. I mean, this is just how we are. We're all worried about things that are going to pass away. Now, God can heal your arthritis. Yes, He can. And you ought to pray about that. But guess what? You're going to still lie dead in a tomb one day. Your body is going to die. What about your soul? I can pray about finances or whatever, but guess what? I'm not taking a dime with me. So I've got to worry about what's really important. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I want you to pray. I want you to pray about every little thing. Take everything to God in prayer. Don't fail to ask for good health so you can serve others. Don't fail to ask for stable finances so you can really help the poor. Don't fail to pray for a better marriage. Don't fail to pray in thanksgiving for creature comforts. But above all, brothers and sisters, pray about your sin. Pray. I need to pray about my sin. I need to say, Lord, turn on the lights and help me to get my priorities right. And so it is that the Lord is asking us to look at our sin. And I want to conclude on one final point. Not only do we need to look at our sin for our own sake, so that we don't go to hell, but also for the sake of others. Listen to what the Lord also said in this gospel. I'm telling you, He says, that if anyone causes one of my little ones to sin, it would be better for that person if he had been cast into the sea with a great millstone around his neck. He's asking us not only to take our own sin seriously for our own sake, but for the sake of one another. All of us are the Lord's little ones, not just children He's talking about. We're all His little ones. And if I do anything to cause you to sin, it would be better for me to be cast into the sea with a millstone around my neck before I would ever scandalize you. And yet we walk around giving bad example, talking foul, leading people into gossip. We lead people into unchastity or whatever we do. And we don't even think about it. The Lord is saying, I'm telling you right now, I am gravely offended when you lead someone else into sin. Oh, let me just tell you the latest thing I heard about so-and-so. We're leading somebody into sin. Some people dress immodestly, act immodestly, seduce, point out scurrilous videos and off-color jokes, leading people into unchastity. Don't even think about it. The Lord says, think about it. Don't worry about what that guy's doing over there, whether he's preaching better than you. John, look at what's really going on in your life. Look at the example in your life. What are you doing? What example are you giving? What's going on in your own life? I'm telling you right now, He says, that's what you ought to be praying about. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end now. It's a tough message, a challenging message. And please, again, don't misunderstand me. The Lord is glad when you pray about everything. But there's an old spiritual that I was singing in the sacristy before coming out to celebrate Mass. It simply says this: King Jesus is a listening all day long just to hear some sinner pray. Did you hear that? Say, hear some sinner pray. He's listening all day long, just waiting, because He wants to get down to business with us. His name is Jesus because He came to save us from our sins. He didn't come to save us necessarily from financial problems or physical problems. The Lord came to save us from our sins. And He's waiting. He's listening. And you would delight Jesus, and I would delight Jesus today, if we would just say, Lord, my biggest sin is that I don't even know most of my sins. I don't even know how difficult I am to live with. And even if I know them, I don't know how serious they are. Lord, I'm begging for an anointing. Oh Lord, be gentle. I can't take it all at once. But Lord, show me and help me to grow in holiness. And I can just see the Lord say, Heavenly Father, we're finally open for business here. So pray about everything, church. But King Jesus is listening right now to hear some sinner pray. Amen.